Going on, my beautiful people. It's Thursday. You know what that means. Another great day here inside the Black Actors Studio. And today I'm very excited about my guest. You know him very well from the iconic show Power Rangers as Zach Taylor. Don't move a muscle.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
What's good? What's good? Hey, hey, the keys drop on that one. There we go. I'm on, right? Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome inside the Black Actors Studio. Thank you so much for tuning in. My guest today, you've seen him on Family Matters, Step by Step, Moesha, Fast and Furious, the iconic Disney movie, Brink. Oh, I'm excited to have you in this studio. Please welcome the Black Actors Studio is very proud to have Walter E. Jones.
Hey.
So what's good, buddy?
What's up, Dan? You good?
I'm good. How you doing today?
Man, I'm blessed. You know, blessed and aware. That's where I am.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. It's so great having you in here, man. I've looked up to you along as a lot of other people.
Oh, I kind of look up to you now. You grew taller than me.
Hey, we got you on a booster. So. I'd like to thank you so much for coming in. I want to say congratulations, especially on the jewelry. You wearing it. Look at it.
Hey, it's more phenomenal.
More phenomenal.
Yes, it is.
That's dope. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on the show.
Cool.
But inside the studio, we always like to start at the beginning. Where were you born?
Born and raised in the D, Detroit, Michigan, Motown City.
Hey,
Motor City.
Motown City.
That's it.
That's what's up. And so how was the dynamics in your family?
The dynamics of my family. Well, I grew up around a lot of family, actually. Mm-hmm. My mom had three sisters, and my grandmother lived with her mother and her husband, my grandfather. So every Sunday was a time where all the family would gather. We would have, you know, dinner, church, after church. We'd go to church, then we'd go to grandma's house. All the family's there, cousins, and aunts, uncles, the whole family. And it was a good time.
Nah,
it was a great way to grow up.
That's dope. What was your father's profession?
My dad is a minister.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
All right.
So mom and dad, they divorced when I was four.
Okay.
You know, they went about their own separate ways, and I lived with my mom for the most part, but dad was always there and a great motivator to me in the sense that, you know, seeing him be a minister and you know, his energy and the way he captured people and spoke to people and inspired people is probably one of the things that inspired me to want to have that, you know?
Right. Yeah, for sure. That's dope. And did you have any nicknames growing up?
I had lots of different nicknames. Some of them I won't talk about.
Some of them we gonna keep under wraps.
Yeah, no, but you know, it's like Walt and Wallet and J-Dub and you know, it's that kind of stuff. Walter Jones. So it was like I got Emmanuel, which is my middle name.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But mostly it was Walt.
Okay. Yeah. And then you're named after your dad, right? Junior?
Yeah, my dad. I'm not a junior. I'm a second.
You're not a junior.
Yeah, they didn't want me.
There
they didn't want me to be a junior.
Okay.
So Walter Emmanuel Jones II is very regal.
God. Very regal. All right. And you had siblings?
I do have a sister, younger sister. Her name is Janae Jones.
And, did she get into like the into the entertainment industry as well?
No, that wasn't her thing. I mean, back in the day, I think she did a play or two, but nah, that just wasn't her thing. She's funny though. I mean, like she could be a comedian. She can chop you down. She's my younger sister, and the situation with her was she loves me to death, and nobody could touch me. Nobody could talk about me.
Mm.
Nobody could do anything, but she would dog me all the time. Yeah. And she would do it in such a funny way because she was shorter than me, and she would talk about me, and everybody would be cracking up, and I would just look at her like, oh, I just could choke you to death. But of course I wouldn't. She, She's my little sister. I love her.
That's what's up. Is she here in L.A. as well? Or
she
there?
Lives in. She lives out here in L.A. Yeah.
Okay, dope, yeah, dope.
Got out here. I was like, she decided to leave Detroit, and I was like, well, you come to Cali, you ain't never going back.
Right.
So, she's been here. That. Yeah, exactly. So now I got a nice. I got a niece, and you know, the whole family arrangement. I love that.
That's dope.
It's good to have family around.
For sure. Yeah, it's definitely great to have family. And you grew up with a lot of family around, so that was helpful.
And mostly girls.
Mostly girls.
It was like I had three aunts, you know, my mom and her three sisters. Uh-huh. And then I had seven cousins, and only one of them was a boy. And then we got another cousin, an adopted cousin.
Okay.
And he was a young boy. But at that point, I was a teenager. He was a baby. He was like not really the same thing. But... yeah, it's crazy.
Oh.
I had a lot of girl energy.
A lot of girl energy.
I was like, I definitely learned a lot about women, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It definitely helped you in relationships and all that, right?
It did, you know, because when you're dealing with women and growing up around women, you see the things that they go through. Mm-hmm. And you go, okay, well, I never want to be that man.
Right.
I never want to treat a woman the way that, you know, my aunt was treated by that person or my mom was treated by that person. And I also saw from the other side how women can be. And I was like, I never want to be that guy that allows that to happen. You know what I'm saying? So I learned a lot.
That's what's up. That's what's up. And in schooling, when did you kind of get that acting bug or did you any plays in school and stuff like that?
Yeah, well, you know what? I think I started in church. You know, I was like the third shepherd.
Yes, come on, third shepherd.
I recited my psalms and that kind of thing. But then from there, I started doing acting classes, and I did some plays around Detroit. And then I joined the drama club in high school and did some plays. I remember we did this play called Shoes, and I played this character who's kind of like easy to be pushed around, and mm-hmm. and the bad guy, he had this kid's money, and he wanted his money back, but the guy was bullying him, so he got a gun, right? Mm-hmm. And so he approaches this guy one point with the gun, and he's going to demand his money back, and the bully talks him down, mm-hmm. right? He's talking him down. Mm-hmm. But I'm in Detroit, right? I'm in Detroit, and everybody's like, shoot him!
Yeah.
And of course, that's not the way the play went. He talks me down, and they start dogging me in the audience. Oh, you suck. And it's funny because I broke character. At one point, I was doing my thing, and I turned and looked at him like, shut up. And I went back into character. Everybody laughed. It was like, but it was one of those moments.
Plays in Detroit.
Yeah, man. Plays in high school. That was the thing. But okay. I was fortunate because... we went to a thespian conference in Muncie, Indiana, and while I was there, I had the opportunity to do a monologue for 20 different colleges. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I ended up getting three scholarships. So I got a scholarship to Amida in New York, I got a scholarship to Muncie, Indiana, where mm-hmm. I auditioned, and I got a scholarship to USIU, which was in San Diego, California. So I ended up coming
to California. San Diego. When you made that transition over here, what was your first... what were some of your first thoughts and some of your first auditions that you went on?
I think one of my first thoughts is, wow, this is what they mean by minority. You know, because I coming from Detroit, which is a predominantly black city.
Right.
And then going to San Diego, which is not.
Mm-hmm.
And my school, it was a school of performing arts. And so it was an eye opener. It was a culture shock because here I was, this young kid from Detroit with my... my Detroit ways, my Detroit vernacular, and everything else, and my comedy, and I was around all these people that were not colored or ethnic, and they didn't get me.
Right.
They were looking at me like, this guy is kind of weird. Why does he cuss so much? And eventually, I had to acclimate. I had to change it up a little bit, which is good.
Adapt,
you know,
yeah.
I was able to adapt, and but that was a strange thing. One of the first plays I did was a kid show called Wiley and the Hairy Man.
Mm.
And we actually took the play and traveled around in California and did it for schools. And it was funny because I played the title character, Wiley, who's this kid that lives this in the swamp, and he's being haunted by this beast called the Hairy Man. And, you know, it was a small cast. We had me, the Hairy Man, and then we had four dancers that were dressed as moss and trees, and they mm-hmm. would turn into these different shapes. And at one point, I had to climb the tree to get away from the hairy man, so I'm sitting on top of one of the guy's shoulders, like, you ain't gonna mess with me, you know?
Really?
Yeah, but I was tiny, so we made it work. But it was really entertaining. I was like, wow, okay.
Wow.
This is fun.
Wow, that's dope. And so you were in San Diego. When did you transition up to LA?
I got a 4-year degree, Bachelor of Fine Arts, mm-hmm. From the school, and then I started working on cruise ships.
Okay.
So I met a gentleman who was working on cruise ships and was telling me how he was traveling around the world and, you know, all the beautiful things he was seeing, and I wanted that eye-opener. And mm-hmm. I had been motivated by some of my brothers in college who had done, like, Up With People and traveled the world in that way, singing around Europe and various other places.
Right.
And then, when I heard those stories, I was like, man, I want to do that. So I auditioned for Princess Cruise Lines, and I got accepted. So
nice.
I ended up spending 3 years on cruise ships, traveling around the world. I went to Indonesia, Malaysia, Hong Kong, Singapore, Australia, Mexico, Alaska, South Pacific Islands, Caribbean Islands. I mean, it was an eye-opener.
Yeah,
it was like,
for sure.
This is the world.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So that was exciting, and I loved it, being out on the cruise ship.
Right.
And seeing all these beautiful places, taking tours. I took a helicopter tour on top of a glacier in Alaska.
Oh,
you
man.
Know, I
nice.
Saw, I saw, I went, you know, hiking in the woods of Alaska and saw bears and salmon. And I went to temples in Bali and, you know, saw black sand, volcanic sand beaches in different places. And went diving on the Great Barrier Reef, you know. So it was
that's
life.
Dope.
Yeah,
that's
it was
dope.
Life. It was good.
That's awesome. Who were some of the actors or, you know, entertainers that you grew up looking after and inspiring you?
You know what? It's interesting because, you know, I grew up watching, you know, like all the TV shows that we watched, like The Jeffersons mm-hmm. and Good Times and Family Matters. Actually, I was very inspired by Michael J. Fox because I was flirting with this girl that lived down the street.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, you're very funny. You remind me of Michael J. Fox. Because I was the Richie Cunningham of Detroit.
Right,
I grew up in the hood, but I was always the nice guy. You know? I was like, I didn't get into a lot of fights. I didn't get into a lot of trouble. I stood my ground. You know, I handled myself. But but I was a nice guy. I was a good kid. And so I started watching Michael J. Fox. And I was like, okay, I see how he's funny as Michael Keaton, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wanted to do what he was doing. So he was one of my inspirations. Of course, Billy Dee Williams, you know, is one of the first black
Billy
actors.
D. Yes.
Billy Dee, Harry Belafonte. I mean, these are the men that I admired
mm-hmm.
and I saw as black actors that were doing things. You know, Denzel Washington, of course. You
yes.
know, I'm like, I was inspired by a lot of different actors, man. But but Michael J. Fox stands out to me just because that was so unusual,
right?
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I get that. And so one of the biggest roles you've ever had, right?
Yes.
And continue to this day, just changing lives.
Amazing.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah.
So, what time is it?
It's Morphin time.
Day.
All day, every day.
So, I want to hear, like, how it was getting this role,
okay.
the audition process, and just working with the producers in this. Because it was based off a Japanese show, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
Japanese show. It was a Japanese show that ran in Japan for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Hans Saban brought it to America, tried it. Actually, with a cast, and it didn't work. It failed. And then he tried to shop it to other places, and it just wasn't working. So he gave it one last go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he saw thousands of people for these five characters. In fact, when I was called, they had been auditioning for about a week already, or a couple of weeks, and I was on the way to Florida to do Star Search.
Mm.
And so I went to Star Search as a singer, singing with this band, caught a cold, and was unable to sing. I ended up having to be background. I was supposed to be the lead singer.
Okay.
I had to be the background singer, and we lost. And so, you know, we came home. But on the way there, I got a call from my agent and said, hey, we got an audition for you for this show called Phantoms. And I was like, oh, and they want you to be a superhero. They're looking for somebody that can dance, do gymnastics, martial arts, and, you know, that's an actor. And I was like, I can do all that. And they're like, yeah, well, the audition is today. And I was like, I'm on a plane. I can't be there. Maybe I can do it when I get back. And they're like, they wanted to see you today, so I'm not sure what's going to happen. So I was bummed. Oh, man, wow. It was an opportunity to do the show. They said if it got picked up, it was going to go for 40 episodes. That's a huge, that's a huge lot of episodes, of right? And I thought I missed this opportunity, but went out to Florida, lost the show, and then came home. And by Wednesday, they called me and said they still want to see you. So I was like, all right, cool, here we go. Let's go. And I was like, this is right up my alley. Right. You know? So I walked in, I did a scene with the casting director, and that went well. You know, I was confident in my acting ability. I was like, okay, I've been doing this. I got a degree in it.
Right.
You know, I've been doing theater for a long time, so I had no issues with that. And then they said, well, can you dance? I said, yeah. And they said, can you show us a little something? Here's some music. Boom, put it on. So I did some hip hop, like bounced around a little bit. And they were like, all right, that's good, that's good. Now, can you do any martial arts? So I was like, yeah, I'm a brown belt in Shinru. And they were like, all right, can you show us something? So I did a little kata, boom, 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 some punches, some kicks, you know. And they said, can you do any flips? This room's not that big, but if you can show us anything. So I was like, yeah, I busted out a back tuck, back flip, boom, landed. And they were like, all right, now that was great. Can you put it all together? And I was like,
hey,
you mean everything on? Okay, yeah, okay, I can, okay, here we go. And so I just, you know, I busted it out, man. I started dancing a little bit, doing some kicks, doing a break dance move with like a swipe that looked like a kick.
Uh-huh.
Took it to the ground, came back up, did a backflip, and then bowed out. And they were like, we want you to come back again tomorrow.
Nice.
So after that, it was probably another week and a half of auditioning. Mm-hmm. They put us all together as cast. They took people in, took people out. They were trying to figure out, you know, what they wanted. They ended up with three different casts. They had a short cast, they had a tall cast, and they had like a character-y cast.
Really?
And we had an audition for the networks and everybody else, the producers, the networks, so three different, like, we had to do a screen test, all the stuff. And at the end of the day, we walked away with the show. So that was it.
Man, you came in there and killed it, though.
Man.
I mean, it's just crazy how, like, things happen for a reason, you know?
Yeah. Everything happens for a reason.
And that's pretty dope.
I like to say right time, right place, right skill set.
Right.
You know? So they say success is when preparation meets luck.
Yeah.
And you got to be a few, or preparation meets opportunity.
That's it.
And if you get the opportunity, if you're ready,
stay ready.
Stay ready.
So you got to get ready.
Right, exactly.
Nah, I hear that. Well, thank you again for joining us. And I just want to do a quick shout out to Maria Menounos and Kevin Undergaro. Thank you so much for allowing us to come here every week and just share these amazing stories with you all. Also, if you missed out on season one, you can go ahead and check it out. And on channel, it's available the whole season one, 20 episodes. You can go binge it right now. Check it out on onchannel.com. Thank you so much again for being here.
Man, happy to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here. And so did the whole, like, you know, black man, black ranger.
Right.
Okay, they had this whole, you know, racial type thing that was going on,
and
not so much when I was younger, but as I got older, people were like, "Oh, wait!"
Which, you know,
when you're a kid, you don't really pay attention.
You didn't care.
I didn't really care.
And it wasn't anything negative because I was a role model. I was the first black superhero on live action TV.
That's right.
You know, to be that and be represented in the black suit, I think is doubly empowering for people of color.
That's the way I saw it.
But as we got older,
right.
By the way, the Yellow Ranger originally was Latin.
Yeah.
So she wasn't, you know, she wasn't like they set it up like that.
Right.
It's just coincidental.
Okay.
It just happened like that.
It was amazing. I can go on for Power Rangers forever. Okay. Forever. I mean, watching it honestly, my siblings and I, we were just watching Saturday mornings all the time, you know, and you were one of the people that I could relate to, you know, and actually, like you said, one of the first black superheroes kicking ass on mainstream TV, you know, it was amazing. I do want to talk to, like, your relationships with the other Rangers now.
Okay.
How I know you guys go out a lot on Comic Cons and things like that. Do you guys have like certain meetups that you do every year, or do you have certain things?
No,
you
go? I mean, we see each other at Comic Cons, and we do about 25-30 shows a year, which is a lot.
That is.
And we're not always together. In fact, we've only all been together one time in the last, you know, 27 years?
Right, yeah.
And that was for the premiere of the movie. And unfortunately, we didn't all take photos together. We took one photo, but Amy Jo found herself missing in that photo. Mm. And although we go, Jamie, come over here, she was like, what are you doing? This is a momentous occasion. Yes. It was like all of us and I'm Saban and opportunity
crazy.
Missed. But it is what it is. But we see each other at Comic-Cons. And it's all love. I mean, we all live in different places, so it's not like we're all in L.A. anymore.
Right, right.
And everybody's, you know, everybody's grown up. Got families, got kids, got relationships, got work. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
There's some controversy talking about like how the cast was treated and things like that.
None of that was an issue when I was on the show.
Issue. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Perfect. David Yost had some issues with producers and so forth and so on. But that didn't happen while I was there, and it wouldn't have happened because I would have said something like, what's up?
Oh, yeah. You know,
I
would've... The Detroit would have came, right?
The thing is, that was the thing, is we were a team.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, you don't mess with the team. Mm-hmm. This is the team. So, I would have stood with him, you know, whether or not we all stood together when it was the right time to stand together is a whole different issue. But if I was there when that happened, I would have had something to say.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it didn't happen when I was there.
For sure. And so I do want to talk about another iconic Disney film, Brink.
Yes. Boomer.
Boomer. Hey. Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about that character and how the process was for that.
You know what? It was offered to me.
Okay.
They called me up. They had my agent say, hey, we want Walter for this part.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, cool. Crazy enough, I was probably about 28 at the time.
Man,
28 to 29.
That's crazy.
And everybody else on the show was under 15 or 16 or under. And I remember talking to Eric Von Detten, and nobody knew my true age, but I remember talking to Eric Von Detten on the set, and he was like, man, you're always trying to be so cool. I was like, you know, that's just how I am. He's like, you try to be so grown up. I'm like, I do try to be grown up. You just don't know how grown up I'm trying to be. You know, but it was cool. I mean, everybody was really cool on the set, and we trained together for about a week. They put us on rollerblades, took us down to Santa Monica, put out ramps and all kinds of craziness. We had X Game people coming to train us, and we were, you know, going up and down on ramps on the rollerblades and all padded up and getting it. It was a lot of fun. I was excited. I was, you know, I'm physically talented, so I picked up on things pretty quickly.
Right.
I was jumping in the ramps. I was like, you know, I was handling my business, and then Boomer broke his leg.
Yeah. Broke his leg.
Dang.
People are still upset about that. They're like, he would have won.
I mean, the good thing is that the character became a catalyst for change.
Yes.
Which is great.
For sure.
You know, I know you can watch it again now, so I don't want to give away the story if you haven't seen it. But yeah, I really like the character Boomer. You know, he was one of those people that stood up for what he believed in.
Mm-hmm.
So
for sure.
Yeah, that was cool.
And you had your take on rollerblades in a couple of episodes of Power Rangers, no? Like you guys had
rollerblades,
just all that stuff.
My favorite though was the ATVs. I remember practicing for that, and you know, me and Austin are out on the parking lot, and we're riding on the ATVs, and the PAs are like, okay guys, be careful, don't go over 10 miles an hour, work on your turns, you guys gotta look like you're proficient at this, you know. And we're like, all right, cool. And we're like riding around and being careful. Jason Day for Frank comes out and jumps on one and just takes up over the grass, over to the hills, into the woods, and then you see him go over this hill, and he catches some air, and you don't know what's on the other side of the hill. So we're looking at him like, oh my God, did you just kill himself? And also you see him come around the corner, and me and Austin looked at each other and went, we're like, we're joining.
Like,
we jumped in. Let's go. Let's go play. So that was fun.
That's dope. What was one of your favorite memories on set?
Favorite memories on set of Power Rangers,
any set?
I did the shield, which with Michael Chiklis, and that was a really cool character. Played Rondell Robinson, and great cast: Walter Goggins and various other people, CCH Pounder. I mean, just some really talented people, actors. And I had a scene with Michael Chiklis where he is throwing me off a roof. Mm-hmm. I'm his CI, and I'm acting up or whatever. I'm kind of doing too much, mm-hmm. and I'm not kowtowing to his, you know, his masterness of, right. you know, the head cop. So he's trying to throw me off a roof. And when they did the scene, they had me tethered. So they had a steel wire going to a harness that I was wearing under my pant leg, went all the way up, hooked onto that, so I couldn't go any further than a certain place. And he's hanging me off over the roof, like, we're probably like 4 or 5 stories up. Mm-hmm. And Mike got a little excited sometimes. I mean, his character was pretty intense, and sometimes he got a little overly physical, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, all right, I'm tethered to this rope, I'm good, you know. And he's like doing the scene, and I got the fear because I got fear of heights anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, so we're doing the scene, and then they go, all right, so listen, Walter, for the close up, we wanna take you off the tether. Is that okay? Because, you know, we want to get this, and we don't want to catch the wire. Mm-hmm. Of course, they weren't going to catch the wire. It was close up. What are you talking about?
Right,
but
right.
I understand they were trying to get more fear, maybe. Right. The more. And I was like, all right, we can do it. And Mike, you know, he's gearing up a character. He's got the angry face on. And I just tell him, I go, hey, Mike, if I go, you go. So I grab his belt. He's got me hanging over the ledge. He's gonna push me by my shirt, and I'm holding on to his belt. Like, bruh, I'm just telling you, I ain't going by myself.
Wow. But,
and then after we had done that, maybe a week or so later, they had the Emmys, and he was up for Emmys against James Gandolfini and various other actors. And the very next day, I went on set, and it turns out it's just me and Michael Chiklis in the makeup room. Mm-hmm. And it's just us, and he's telling me stories about what it was like to win that Emmy that night with all these other actors, and he was talking about how James, you know, who had won like maybe 3 times for Sopranos, you know, everybody kind of giving props, so good job, you know, good luck, whatever. And he went over to James, and James kind of just gave him that, you know, Tony Soprano nod, right. Like, yeah, whatever. And then he won. He's like, he was telling me how excited he was and what it felt like. And that was a really cool moment for me, because it was like, I didn't win an Emmy, right. You know, although he said I should have been nominated for one of the scenes we did, but to be in that moment with him and to hear his story, I thought that was just really cool. I mean, he's such an artistic guy. Like, his character was so intense, but he's a jovial person. Mm-hmm. So right before we'd go into a big intense scene where we're talking about, you know, guns and murders and whatever, all this mm-hmm. craziness, we'd be singing songs. We're singing at the top of our lungs, hey. And then they go action, and we jump right into it. Wow. And so the challenge of that was fun to me, because I was like, oh, here we go. All right, I got my chops. Let's go.
That's you know?
It was cool.
That's what's up. Now, you mentioned that you guys had, you know, your reunion type of thing when the movie came out.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts about seeing the film?
I thought it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. My kids enjoyed it. I took my kids with me. Mm-hmm. And
you have 2 kids,
I got
right?
2 kids, yeah. A boy and a girl. 16 and 12. Wow. Honor and Zoe, give them a shout out. What up, my kids? I thought it was fun. It was entertaining. I wish they had gone a different way with the message. Not the message, but in the show that we did, mm-hmm. we were teenagers with attitude. Now, we had attitude because we were leaders, because mm-hmm. you couldn't tell us what to do.
Right.
You know, we were going to follow our own way. We weren't going to be followers.
Oh, yeah.
And we were a group of leaders. And then when it came time to lead, we were ready. We mm-hmm. were a team of leaders.
Right.
So we were teenagers with attitude because we were confident. They, in the movie, were teenagers with attitude because they were delinquent.
Delinquent, yeah.
And they weren't powerful before they got the coin. The coin they found, and it was like a thing of luck, and they became inadvertent heroes.
Mm.
So they didn't really know how to lead, and then it was a process of them becoming a team. That was the whole story. I don't think that's as powerful for kids, because I think we inspired a lot of people to be a lot of great things because they wanted to be like that. So they did their best. They did their best in school. They did their best in martial arts. They did their best as dancers. They did. They said they wanted to be ready. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so yeah. I wish they had followed that message.
Right. Yeah.
That's my only grievance. And okay. That and my master didn't look like a beetle.
Mastodon looked like a beetle. My Mastodon.
I was like, I was like, what y'all doing to my Mastodon, man? And no hip hop keto. And I that was important.
Yeah, that's what we love. I mean, that's what we loved about Zach. That was a staple.
The only Power Ranger with his own martial arts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was amazing. And so it's on Netflix now. You know this.
Yeah, you can watch it from the very beginning until now. And it'll take you about a week and 8 days.
Really?
Which is forever, because 8 days is more than a week. But
3 weeks.
Yeah, there you go.
Or 2 weeks.
It can take, I mean, from one, if you don't get off the couch and you watch from one episode to the next, you won't get up for a week and a half, I swear.
Have you watched any of the past episodes lately or recently in the past couple of years, or you just not really don't watch them anymore?
No. I mean, I enjoy watching them? The show. When it was on TV, I would sit down with my kids and watch it, you know, sometimes with them. I haven't seen any of the new episodes. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, not that I have a thing with it, it's just... You know,
it's just not. Yeah. I was like,
you know,
exactly.
I didn't get to. I watched them when I was on it because I wanted to see my work. What did
I
do? How did I look? You know, did they capture this moment? You know, that kind of thing. But
I can't tell you where it's at now. They were in space. They're in dinosaur land. They were back to the future. I don't know where they are now.
It's ever changing. Well, what happened was after we left the show, the producers decided to make sure that the cast was not as important anymore because we were on. You said you watched it every Saturday, but it was actually on 5 days a week when the show first came on. Mm-hmm. It went from 5 to 6 days a week. It was Monday through Saturday. After we left, after they did the movie with the new cast, then they start changing casts every season. Mm-hmm. And what that does is it allows them to make new toys. So then they can have new toys every season. Right. So Jungle Fury, this. So the characters stop being as important.
Exactly. Like, we don't fall in love with the characters so much because they're gone the next thing, you know? So, but no, I get that for sure. Right now, do you find yourself... Because you're doing a lot of Comic-Con stuff, so what else is on the plate right now for Walter E. Jones? You got your jewelry going. What else is?
We got more phenomenal. We got the jewelry. This custom chains.
Which looks dope.
It's dope, right? This is the high-end one right here. Black Diamond is a sapphire. You got the Mastodon on the back. It's kind of nice, right?
Yeah, I love that.
Make sure you get a close-up on that. You guys can follow me on my Instagram if you want to get more information on how to get that.
Yeah, for sure.
Walter E. Jones at Instagram. I'm actually doing a film. I got a film coming up called Memoirs of a Fighter, so I'm excited about that.
Nice.
And I am for a few other things that I can't talk about.
Right.
But
good
things are happening. You know, awesome. Between you know the Comic Cons and television and film stuff. You know,
and that keeps you going. Like the Comic Cons. How many have you done this year so far?
I got one more this weekend and I'll be done. But somewhere between 25 and 30 shows a year. Wow. And it's international. Our show's in 40 countries. And there's like so much merchandise.
Man.
We have three different comics out right now.
Mm-hmm.
I got a brand new doll at Walgreens. It's the Lightning. You know, a brand new action figure.
Nice.
And Walgreens right now, the Lightning. Dragon armored Black Ranger, which is cool. It's dope. It moves all kind of stuff. It's got a face that's supposed to look like mine, but it looks kind of old. I'm like, didn't they know Zach don't crack? What's up?
All right.
You know, what's up with that? You know,
come on, like, now.
Why is my action figure looking older than me?
There it is.
There we are.
Man, I can't.
Right.
Living that life song, right though. Now. Power Ranger, hey.
Hey, that song. I think that's the first time I heard a song that rocked out.
Right?
I'm like, what is this rock guitar? What is that?
Oh, rest in peace, dude.
That's my girl.
Hey. There, wow, Buck
those
Skull.
Guys, awesome. Great actors, great people. Check it out, Mastodon. He's the chest and the arm. So
right?
Without the Mastodon, man, Megazord can't fight.
Ah, man.
There it is.
Love that. Love that. 27 years 27 later.
27 years, man. It's
and
crazy.
It's still rocking harder than
I
ever.
I know, and I'm only 29. I don't know how. How that happened? That's crazy. Like, I did say Zach don't crack.
You did say Zach don't crack.
Yeah, man.
Hey, so this is a part of the show where I go into a special segment of fast questions. Okay.
Wow. Here we go.
So so when I ask you some questions, you give me the first thing that pops in your head.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. What's your favorite word?
But. This is not going to go well.
We on a good track already. Here we go.
That is not my favorite word. But it's first thing,
good thing to look
word.
At, I guess.
Hey, it is.
Least favorite word.
Least favorite word. Cry.
Cry. Okay. What's something that turns you on?
Happiness.
Mm. Something that turns you off?
Racism.
Yeah. If not the Black Power Ranger, what color would you be?
Black Power Ranger.
Hey, I ain't changing. Sound or noise that you love?
Baby's giggles.
Oh. Sound or noise that you hate?
Chalkboards.
Ooh, scratching on chalkboard. Yeah. Oof, yeah. That's not. What profession other than your own would you like to participate in?
I'd love to be a singer.
Singer, okay. And what profession would you absolutely not?
Janitor.
Janitor. Who's someone that you would love to work with?
Denzel.
And if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say to you?
Well done, son.
Well done, son. Well done. All right. Nice. And well done.
There it is.
There it is.
I can't believe the first answer was but.
That
I like big what? No, I'm saying.
I like big. But no.
It's funny. I went to Brazil and I was asking them what to say in Portuguese. And the first thing they told me was bunda bonita, which is beautiful butt. And I was like, okay, well, I guess. You
know. That's what they said about you?
Yeah, no, that's what they told me I was supposed to say. I was like, what's a good thing out here to learn? Well, teach me some Portuguese. Bunda bonita. I was like, who can I say that to? How do I not get shot?
Like, you're right.
How does that work? Who am I going to offend? I don't know.
That is interesting. Yeah. Okay, well, that's a life learning lesson right there. I'd like to know that. Real quick here. You know, Hollywood's changing, right? Yeah. We see it changing. We're seeing being more progressive, and people of color are, you know, lighting up the TV screen and all that. Where do you see, you know, Hollywood going in the next 5 years? And you have any input of where it's at now?
I'm excited. I mean, Tyler Perry just opened his own movie studio. That is like, come on, man. That is like superstardom right there.
Right.
Like, there's so many possibilities, so many avenues, media. There's so many stories that are now going to be told and that will be heard by the world. So mm-hmm. I'm excited about that as far as the industry. Hopefully we can get rid of some more of this, you know, the reality shows.
Right.
That's killing me. It's not a good look.
Yeah,
it's
not.
But I'm looking forward to more stories being told and people getting, you know, not only our stories as Black people, but, you know, stories of people of all walks and creeds, mm-hmm. you know.
Right. And that would be interesting, having the Power Rangers reality TV show.
Oh, my God. Yeah, right?
Sticking the cast all together.
Yeah, put us in a house for
can you imagine?
That is not going to be good. Oh, my gosh. I already know a couple of fights going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Now, I have to ask. So there was 10, there were like 10, there's a lot of lists out there, but there was like 10 unknown facts about the Power Rangers, things like that.
Okay.
So you're missing a finger on your left hand. I did not know that. And I actually got it right here. I'm going to pick it up for you.
There it is.
No, but it was so interesting because they were just like showing scenes from you know, from the old episodes.
Yeah.
And no one picked it up.
Everyone missed it. When I wore the suit, I just took the finger down in the glove. So it's not like it would be dangling, because otherwise it'd be like flipping around. You know, like it did when I was a kid and I was in Detroit and that finger would just be sticking up. I closed my hands because it was cold and I stick it, but it would just be sticking up.
Like, so, are you fucking me off?
Exactly. So eventually I learned just stick it down in the glove. I never tried to hide it. Mm-hmm. It was just, I didn't put it out there. Like, I wasn't like, hey,
right,
look,
of course,
got
of
a missing finger. But, you know.
Was it something you were born with? Or?
No. I lost it when I was four. Found a gun in my house playing with it. Mm. And fortunately, it went off and it only hit my finger. Mm. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, blessings to God for that, because it could have been a lot worse.
Of course. Yeah. And you wouldn't have brought us Zach Taylor.
Yeah. Funny, I tried to join the Air Force high school, and they wouldn't let me join because I'm missing two joints.
Right.
So they're like, sorry, you missed two joints. I was like, it's only a finger. Come on. And they're like, sorry. So
yeah.
Then I ended up becoming a Power Ranger. Much better.
Well, I'd like to thank you so much for joining me again. That's all the time we have for today.
Is that all the time?
That is all the time, bro.
Give me the mic. Hold on.
Start singing for it. Yeah. No, it was great. It was great having you. I'm telling you, very inspiring. Thank you so much for everything you Thank you so much for everything you gave us. You know, especially me growing up, it's incredible. Here he is, right here.
It is.
I might have to ask you to put that on later.
It's not gonna happen.
But go ahead and tell everyone where they can find you and keep up with you.
Yes, please. Catch me at on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter at Walter E. Jones, all one word. I look forward to seeing you guys. Get at me.
Yes, and you can find me everywhere at I Am Danny Royce. Also, check into On Channel, www.onchannel.com. You can check out whole episode or season one. And it's been a great time having the Black Power Ranger in here. Walter E. Jones, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you all next week, same place, same time, inside the Black Actor Studio. Bye-bye.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.